"Can you tell us where Quentin Montrose lives?" she asked. Geoffrey Tunnard pointed out one of the cabins, no different to any of the others. Solar panels on the roof, a sagging overhang above the veranda. "Won't do you no good. He was in Neil's group." Lorry stood at the side of the wheelhouse as the Coogan cast off. Darcy was aft, heaving more of the interminable logs into the furnace hopper. Len Buchanan whistled tunelessly as he steered his boat into the middle of the river. Oconto gradually shrank away to stern until it was nothing but a deeper-than-usual gash in the emerald cliff. Smoke from the cooking fires drifted apathetically across the choppy water. "We could send one of the eagles looking for them," Lorry suggested. "You don't really mean that." "No, I'm sorry. I was just trying to save my own conscience." 50 armed men and no trace. I don't know about your conscience, but my courage has almost deserted me. We could go back, or even wait for Solanke's marines. Yes, we could. You're right. We'll go on. We should have told Geoffrey Tunnard to leave, Darcy said. I should have told him. Take his family and flee back to Dunningham. At least we would have been honest. None of this false hope we left him with. That's all right. I think he already knows. Carl Lamborn woke without knowing why. It wasn't noon yet, and he hadn't got to go back on watch until 2 o'clock. The blinds on his cabin's port were still shut, reducing the light inside to a mysterious and enticing dusk. Booted feet thudded along the deck outside the door. Conversation was a persistent background hum, children calling out in their whiny voices. Everything normal. So why was he awake with a vague feeling of unease? The colonist girl, what was her name, stirred beside him. She was a few months younger than him, with dark hair, teased into ringlets around a dainty face. Despite his initial dismay with the Swithland carrying all those extra sheriffs and deputies, it was turning out to be a good trip. The girls appreciated the space and privacy his cabin gave them. The boat was very crowded, with sleeping bags clogging every meter of deck space. The girl's eyelids fluttered, then opened slowly. She... Allison, that was it, Allison, remember that, grinned at him. "Hi," she said. He glanced along her body. The sheet was tangled up round her waist, affording him a splendid view of breasts, lean belly muscles, and sharply curving hips. "Hi yourself," he brushed some of the ringlets from her face. Shouts and a barking laugh sounded from outside. Allison gave a timid giggle. "God, they're only a meter away." "You should have thought of that before you made all that noise earlier." Her tongue was caught between her teeth. "Didn't make any noise."
"Did?"
"Didn't." His arms circled her, and he pulled her closer.
"You did, and I can prove it."
"Oh, yeah?"
"Yeah."
He kissed her softly, and she started to respond. His hand stole downwards, pushing the sheet off her legs. Allison turned over when he told her to, shivering in anticipation as his arm slid under her waist, lifting her buttocks up. Her mouth parted in expectation.
"What the hell was that?"
"Carl?" She bent her head round to see him kneeling behind her, frowning up at the ceiling.
"Carl?"
"Shush! Listen, can you hear it?" She couldn't believe this was happening. People were still clumping up and down the deck outside. There wasn't any other sound, and she'd never ever been so turned on before. Right now, she hated Carl with the same intensity she'd adored him a second before. Carl twitched his head round, trying to catch the noise again. Except it wasn't so much a noise, more a vibration, a grumble. He knew every sound, every tremble the Swithland made, and that wasn't in its repertoire. He heard it again and identified it. A hull timber quaking somewhere aft, the creak of wood under pressure, almost as if they had touched a snag. But his mother would never steer anywhere near a snag. That was crazy. Allison was looking up at him, all anger and hurt. The magic had gone. He felt his penis softening. The noise came again, a grinding sound that lasted for about 3 seconds. It was muted by the bilges, but this time it was loud enough even for Allison to hear.
She blinked in confusion. "What?"